Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. Thursday, May 29th. It is a significant time for K-State football because they are about to welcome in a big list of official visitors. Drew has the full insight on that over at KSO right now. So if you are here, you're going to listen to some of what we say. You're going to need some more info as to what is going on. You can go get that over at KSO, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But let's just start with the basics here, Drew. How many players is K-State welcoming in this weekend? And I noticed a little bit of a theme. Maybe this is just because, you know, we know it's a talent-rich area, but this feels like a big Texas weekend for K-State recruiting.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's 14 official visitors, and let me do some real quick math here. Always a dangerous game when you do this about how many Texas guys. There is, I believe, 9 in the quick math that I just did. So 9 of the 14 from Texas. Super talent-rich area, we know. K-State also having to go out of Kansas a little bit has made that a little bit more of a focus, going to Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri. Georgia also has a lot of guys that will be in Manhattan throughout the rest of the summer. But this is, I think you're exactly right, Texas weekend, because a lot of the guys that I'll really be paying attention to this weekend are from the state of Texas.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a handful of them here in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody about the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland. We are gearing up for that trip, as I know many of you watching this are. But if you have not made plans for it yet and are still on the fence, you think you want to do it, go to cats2ireland.com, and you can get your travel and hospitality packages as well as ticket info. Still some ticket options available through kstatesports.com. You can go check it out there for some information on that. But also, I mean, I guess there are probably some people that are like, yeah, we're going, and we just haven't done it yet because you like to procrastinate. Been there. I waited a while on the passport. I guess I could have waited longer. It moved through the system pretty quickly. But we will be there. We hope to see a lot of other Cat fans over in Ireland. Should be a great time at the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic. So cats2ireland.com is the place if you are still thinking about going over there, or you need your ticket, your avenue to get there, whether it's your travel, the game itself, or anything else you want to experience over in the Emerald Isle. And Drew's got a fun fact for you to prepare for the trip.
I have one fun fact about Ireland and then just one just blanket statement. I had to go back to the United States Postal Service because my driver's license and the address that I put on my passport application don't match up. So I had to go back. That's what happens when you move. You got a lot of different things going on.
That's tough.
But today's Ireland fun fact game is August 23rd. The average high temperature is just 64 degrees in Ireland on August 23rd with a low of 52. So again, we talked about this just in the blanket. The weather there isn't always like super predictable. Pack a jacket. It's going to be a little chilly, I think. It could be chilly and rainy.
Well,
if you're really looking at the averages.
So I want everybody to know that I have done my plan. I think I told you yesterday, but I did indeed go through and my eBay addiction. I've got my Nike Golf Stormfit jacket on its way. So that is headed towards me, and I will be prepared for the rain as I'm down there getting highlights.
It also does say, like, prepare for it to be a little bit breezy at times, too, because even though it's August and it's going to be hotter than heck in Kansas, it is very mild there.
I'm excited for that experience. I can't wait to see what that's like. All right, let's get into the important stuff here. There are a handful of guys visiting this weekend for K-State. Before we get into some of the more interesting case studies that you alluded to, where you're going to keep your eyes on really a lot of Texans that are going to be here this weekend. One Texan that's coming is Brandon Ford, who's a K-State commit. Where do things stand here? Because he was the first member of the 2026 class to commit. So he's been committed for a while now. Is this just standard operating for K-State, or are they going to have to do some essentially continual recruiting here?
Yeah, we'll see where this ends up going, because Ford hasn't been back to Manhattan since he committed back in October, which, by the way, feels like so long ago at this point. But they're going to be doing a lot of working with Brandon Ford, because he has other official visits scheduled to Memphis and to Oklahoma State. And we'll just kind of see where this visit goes from here for him, because you kind of get the sense that it doesn't seem like they're always on the same page. So we'll kind of see where that goes from here this weekend, because I think this is a big weekend for K-State and Brandon Ford specifically.
One other guy that I wanted you to touch on real quick, Donovan Webb is going to be making an official visit. He's already been to a number of high profile places in the Big 12, and he's got some even higher profile ones scheduled nationally. Currently the number 327 player in the country in the On3 industry rankings, one of the better safeties there. So a four-star guy that seemed interesting that K-State is getting the official visit. What's the likelihood that this commitment could come K-State's way, or is this all these guys, the official visits are not limited anymore, so you can take as many as you want, and K-State's just kind of on the fringe here?
Yeah, I don't know how likely it is, because there are so many suitors and so many official visits for Donovan Webb. I think he's already taken four, and after K-State, I think he has three more. So you kind of look at that as, okay, what is like real here? The thing that is interesting to me and has kind of stuck with me, like, I don't know how likely it is that K-State gets Donovan Webb. I would say that it's probably more unlikely than likely at this point. But remember, last week, kind of going into the week before we had found out that official visits were being pushed back and some guys were going to have to reschedule dates, one of the guys that was supposed to visit last week was Donovan Webb. And I kind of expected, and I think a lot of people probably did, that with the list of teams really going after him, that he would probably just move on and go somewhere else this weekend. K-State gets him on campus this weekend anyway. He was supposed to be at Ohio State. Sounds like Ohio State might be filling up at safety, which helps K-State in this standpoint, because I think Ohio State was probably the team that was leading for him. But it seems like there's genuine interest, because he could have, just after last weekend and not coming to Manhattan, just ended up being a guy that didn't go to K-State at all for a visit. But the fact that he still is, I think, is interesting and something that's worth pointing out. But there are so many teams in it for Donovan Webb. I think TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor. He has official visits to Notre Dame. I think LSU is also involved. Like, there are a long, long, long list of teams, which just makes it kind of hard to judge where recruitment is at when there's that many teams and that many visits scheduled. It's kind of like what we talked about last week with Chase Campbell, the receiver from Lubbock. When you take so many official visits, it's really hard to figure out what a hierarchy of teams are, because, plot twist, I don't know if everybody knows this, every team has a really good official visit.
Yeah.
Like, there, unless you, like, monumentally
neglect the guy.
Unless you, like, totally forget that a guy exists while they're on campus, like, everybody does something that will knock somebody's socks off. So it's really hard when there's eight official visits for somebody, because every one of them is kind of the same. So then it really just comes down to relationships. And then Donovan Webb also isn't the most talkative person in the world.
You look now at these guys that have all these visits lined up. It turns official visit month into much more of a a marathon than even in the past, you know, where you have a guy and it's like, yeah, there's four or five schools there, whatever. But now it also just chops up the percentages. Like we're about to talk about guys and that you'll see the RPM on the screen. It just in the RPM is not the gospel, but like the more teams you have in the mix and the more visits that are scheduled, like there's just more of a chance that like if in a normal year you had had four official visits scheduled and, you know, let's use Ohio State, for example, they were, you know, you're like, they probably make up 50% of the pie of where I want to go right now. Okay. Well then there's three other schools that make up the other 50%. But now like it just, why would you take, I understand why you might, but why would you realistically take eight visits if there's only four schools that are catching your eye? I think guys want to have their options open more now. We'll see what ends up happening here, but I figured you could give some insight on that. Let's dive in though to the ones that really have caught your eye, and let's start at a position that is important. K-State doesn't have it yet, and it seems like this is, I don't know if people should be worried about the way that it's transpired because it went so smoothly last year in getting a quarterback with Dylan Duff. Not the case right now as K-State welcoming in Miles Teodecki, a quarterback out of Austin this weekend for an official visit. Feels like we've heard 50 different names at quarterback this cycle for K-State. So what's the word on Teodecki and really what's going on with K-State and their hunt for their 2026 QB?
Yeah, Miles Teodecki is very interesting to me and why I really wanted to talk about him, because he's somebody that he was offered literally last week. Like his offer is just now like about a week old. He was offered 5 days ago by K-State and they really pushed to get him on campus right away. So that tells me number one, that they really like him and they probably want to be shut down this weekend. But the other interesting thing is, Teodecki is a very accomplished player. Like he has even better stats than what Brady Palmer had last season, the other kind of big name at quarterback that K-State's been going after. But his offer sheet is significantly smaller. And what's interesting to me is all of Teodecki's offers have came since February. So that tells me that either coaches have found something that they really like from him just throughout the spring and kind of leading up to the summer before he probably went to a bunch of camps, or he is a pretty good baseball player. Like there's a chance that like he wanted to play baseball in college and now he just finally realized, okay, like I want to really pursue football now. So there's a lot of things with Teodecki that I think are interesting and have a lot of moving parts. Am I overly concerned that K-State doesn't have a quarterback and there's been a lot of names this cycle? Not really. I just think that there's been kind of a shift in what they want for quarterbacks. And you're never going to have like a cycle where like last cycle was more of the exception and not the rule. And even like the last few, because you went on a run where K-State really latched on to Avery Johnson early, obviously.
Yeah,
and then obviously latched on to Blake Barnett early because he was one of the first commits in 2024. Yeah. And then Dylan Duff was the first in 2025. So I think that this is more of just kind of like a shift in philosophy. And also, like, I think K-State really likes their quarterback room right now. So I think that with that, they're kind of navigating, okay, like, who else do we want to add to this? The other thing that with Teodecki that makes him even more interesting, and some people like it, some people hate it, I don't think that it's really like a huge deal. He is left-handed.
Yeah, I was going to say he's left-handed.
But some people like hate that with a quarterback. I know that the spin is different. I know that how you're going to shuffle your offensive line is a little bit different. But I don't think that it's like a huge deal in the long term. Like, I guess you can miss me with a bunch of, oh, he's left-handed, we can't have that. I'd be more worried about what his mechanics are. And like, I think that he needs to make a little bit of adjustments with his mechanics throwing the ball than him actually being left-handed.
You're saying if a commitment does come when we're showing the tape, that I should just reverse it, and so we mirror it, and then we see what he would look like right-handed so we can truly process the kind of quarterback he is.
It's apparently, because some people were like really
but lefty quarterbacks are just strange. You don't see a lot of them like at a highly successful level.
No, but I also think that that's just part of that. As somebody that, as time has gone on, and like my sisters have had kids and
that are left-handed,
and two of the four are left-handed.
Oh, no.
And a lot of left-handed people run in my family. I've realized that I think that I was supposed to be left-handed, and was one of the kids that at like my daycare preschool got conformed to being right-handed. I don't think that being left-handed quarterback is a big deal. I mean, for God's sakes, he was the offensive player of the year in the 6A Division II in Texas last year. I think he's fine.
Well, you know, everybody's got defects in life. And if yours just so happens to be you use the wrong hand, but you still do everything pretty well, I think people can look past that. The other thing to note, you mentioned the baseball side of it for Tiadecki. So that's notable. Also, a ton of Ivy League offers. And that seems to be another, I don't know if it's an intentional trend for K-State over the last handful of years in recruiting, but we've seen a number of guys when we've discussed them that they also have a lot of the Ivy League potential in their background. But this will definitely be one to watch, and with K-State's hunt for a quarterback, something to keep an eye on this weekend, and Drew will have updates on that over at KSO. Let's keep going through the crowd of Texans, and this is a name that we've talked about quite a bit. Keegan Collins, an offensive lineman out of Amarillo. He will make his official visit this weekend to K-State. Seems like it's Texas Tech and K-State in the thick of things here. What do you make of K-State's hunt for somebody that's right in Texas Tech's backyard?
Yeah, I think that it is Texas Tech and K-State. I think that Arkansas is kind of lingering, but these are the two schools that I think feel the best. And the RPM shows Texas Tech. I know that as soon as he took an official visit to Texas Tech, that a lot of their writers put in predictions for him. But I'm going to do my best Lee Corso impression and say, not so fast, my friend.
Mm.
I have heard a lot of really good things about where K-State stands for Keegan Collins in the last handful of weeks, to the point where I've been thinking about putting in a prediction for Collins to K-State. And I think that this could even happen in a hurry. Like, if you're looking at guys that are most likely to commit after this weekend and not take any more visits, Miles Tiadecki is probably number one because of how fast and furious like this recruitment has been. Number two would probably be Keegan Collins for me. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if this ends up being something where K-State gets a commitment afterwards. And then, I mean, if this were to come to fruition, Brian Lepak, man, that'd be a crazy first couple months on the job at offensive line coach.
So you're essentially saying that when the merger happens between Rivals and On3, there's going to be some beef in place between KSO and the fine folks at the Texas Tech rival site, right?
I think that they might have jumped the shark a little bit. On
all right. Thing. So Drew has called out Red Raider Sports here. Fine guys. I've interacted with them enough from time at Rivals or the year after that I was not at Rivals. So when we went down to Lubbock and they were talking to me, and I can't remember if they knew that I wasn't there anymore, or they didn't realize I wasn't there anymore, but you know, we're all about to be family again. So Drew Beefen, you don't take joy in that though, right? Thinking that you might, you know, do the old switcheroo, because no, there are some guys that from my time at Rivals or other places, I did like being the contrarian and saying, oh yeah, you're going to be wrong.
Yeah, I always like hesitate to put in predictions unless I am like 95% confident that a commitment is going to happen. So I think that that kind of also tells you how I feel about Collins, that I'm thinking about putting one in.
Yeah. All right, Keegan Collins, a name to know, could be one of those that commits. Let's keep going down. More offensive lineman action for you. Justin Morales out of El Paso. Looks like on the RPM, thinks K-State, Oregon State here for an offensive lineman that's been on the radar for a little bit. This is an inside type of guy on the line. What do you know about Justin Morales?
Yeah, he is somebody that K-State really, really, really likes. He is going to get, as everybody does, like the whole red carpet treatment in Manhattan. But I think that K-State is really going to try and push for a commitment this weekend, potentially, because when we talked about it with Donovan Webb, Justin Morales also has a lot of official visits scheduled. I think that he has 7 now that he posted yesterday, to Arizona, Maryland, which, by the way, weird, K-State and Maryland like never interact on the recruiting trail, but are like 2 or 3 times in this cycle, which is bizarre. Michigan State, Oregon State, Wisconsin, Cal. So those are the 7 official visits that he has. So I would imagine that K-State really, really goes all out, because from the vibes that I've gotten, everybody in Manhattan loves Justin Morales.
Good to know, because you know, you look at a guy like that coming from way out there in Texas, and one of the more like lower rated guys in terms of the industry ranking, it's tough to get a gauge, but we know that K-State has been pretty good at identifying players that would make a lot of sense for him. Another player from the state of Texas that is a little bit higher on the rankings would be Tucker Ashford, just outside the top 400. He's got 4-star status from On3, just shy of it in the industry ranking. Plays out of Fort Worth Christian. And a lot of schools in the mix here. The RPM's kind of all over the place. It had K-State high, Oklahoma State at number 2, and then Houston and Illinois. But you wrote in your primer, which people can go and get a full look at right now over at kstateonline.com. And reminder, if you're not signed up and you want to read that, you can get it for just $1 right now, your first week. But Tucker Ashford, a guy that Houston and Illinois also seem to be squarely in the mix for.
Yeah, I actually think that this is probably more K-State and Illinois, if you're really reading between the lines, because I think that Illinois is really trying to push hard to get Tucker Ashford. He has been a favorite of K-State staff since last June when he camped. Freak athlete at defensive end. He is the lead of their 4x100 track team as a 6'3", 240-pound defensive end. So he is a big-time athlete. K-State really likes him. Chris Kleiman went to see him in January. K-State coaches have been there, again, more in January and even more during the spring contact period. We'll see what happens. I'm not totally bullish on a commitment this weekend for Tucker Ashford, but he's one that I have my eyes on, because I think that he's had K-State's eye for a long time, and he really likes K-State as well. So anything can happen on these visits. So he's one that I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing how this progresses, because I think that getting him on campus first of the schools in the top 3 and even the top 2 with Illinois, and Houston is like right there too. But getting him on campus first, I think, is a big, big deal on this one, because I think that there are times where you want to be first and times that you want to be last. This one, you might want to be first in, because you really get to set the bar.
Yeah. Do you know the order off the top of your head that the visits will come in for Tucker Ashford? Obviously, K-State now, but what comes after that?
I believe it's Illinois and then Houston, but I'd have to go back and look.
So, yeah, you're looking basically at the order that you think it is in right now, with, you know, win, play, show, at least ahead of when a commitment might actually happen for Tucker Ashford. But certainly a fascinating one. We know that K-State has had a lot of success with defensive ends lately that they've brought in, and certainly a guy that has the talent of Tucker Ashford in a lot of different ways would profile as being successful at K-State as well. One final player to highlight today, another Texan. I forgot to switch his info around there, but Savorian Martin is a player. K-State, Baylor, SMU is how it looks, or at least is liked by the RPM right now. What can you tell us about Savorian Martin?
Yeah, the RPM says K-State, Baylor, SMU, but it's really K-State, Texas Tech, Houston. But if you really want to know where I think it is, I think that it's just K-State. Like, I think that since his visit in April, K-State has been in the lead, and he has really conducted his recruitment with K-State in mind. I mean, he was the first one, and this is why I'm a little bit upset about myself, like, a couple weeks ago for not really going in and, like, doing more research on what official visits were like last weekend and how they all got pushed back. But he, in, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, said that he was changing his visit to May 29th instead of the 22nd. So that was something that had been done for a little bit. And I think that you see the commitment date of June 19th. I'm pretty sure that's still going to happen, but I still think that he is going to be a Wildcat, even though he will still likely visit Texas Tech in Houston. But he is somebody that I felt the best about out of all these official visitors. And then even with Tedeki and Collins, like, I think that there's a potential that they commit this weekend or soon after the visits. Martin, you're going to have to wait a little bit, but that doesn't make it feel any less good. Like, I still feel really good about where it stands for him and just where that all is at. And a credit to K-State staff, because they knocked his visit in April out of the park. And I imagine they do the same this weekend. And because of that, they're in the position that they are. Another one, K-State has visited a few times during this spring contact period. Going to be in the Navy All-American game. He's actually second cousins with Adrian Peterson, which I think is pretty cool. And then I just think that with where his recruitment is at, I think that K-State has been the leader for a good bit.
So with the names we've seen here, and obviously we've got a handful more weekends after this where we're going to be talking about official visitors coming to K-State. But this is going to be, relative to what it's looked like, a smaller class this year for K-State that they're going to take. But once again, even if you are sacrificing in the quantity, which is really how a decent chunk of the recruiting rankings end up being comprised of, like, if you have quantity, it's going to shoot you up quite a bit. K-State, the quality is right there as good as ever, maybe better with this class, the way it's starting to look like it could shape up. And obviously a long ways to go. K-State actually has to follow through and get these commitments that they seem like they're driving for. But it seems to me, and I'm nowhere near as good at this as you, that K-State is probably tracking to be in the same area of the recruiting rankings once again as they've been the last couple of years, which have been, you know, some of the best that K-State's been able to manage.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they end up near the same as where they have been. Like, I don't know if they'll be in the top 40 like they were in 2023 and 2025 just because of sheer class size. But I think that they will be kind of in that same ballpark as 2024, which I believe they were like 42nd or 43rd. They just won't have enough guys, but I think that they'll have enough on the top end to get them like squarely in the top 50. And then, I mean, the other thing that plays into this is, you know, the junior college guys also get ranked, and I imagine that there'll be probably like 14 to 15 high schoolers with a couple JUCOs mixed in, maybe even like there might be like 15, 16. 17 would probably be the most high schoolers that I would see. But there will be some JUCO guys mixed in that will also boost the class rank. I would say that it's going to be squarely in like the top 50, and maybe in the like top 45 still, even with how small this class is going to be. Yeah. Also, recruiting services are starting to really catch on to what K-State does on the evaluations, and you see a lot of guys really shoot up throughout the fall and into the winter, and even like right before signing day, or if you're the case of like Larry Porter, even after signing day, going way up.
Yeah, that was a massive bump. If you want just some insight, most people I think are well aware of it, but since Chris Klieman got to K-State, year one, which obviously a little bit tricky considering they were taking over for a regime that had been let go. So they had to kind of scramble. In 2019, K-State was 67th in the recruiting rankings. They were 52nd the next year, then 54th in 21, 63rd in 22. But since then, 37th in 2023, 42nd in 2024, and they finished 2025 at 37th. So they're hanging around in that top 40. And the way to look at this now is essentially, yes, the national ranking, but like you have to understand that that's a good number for a school like K-State and really any school in the Big 12 right now. Like we'll go through, and once again, when we do the signing day thing, we'll show where K-State is nationally, but I'll also break it down once again. Where is K-State in relation to the other Big 12 and ACC schools? Because we know that the Big 10 and SEC are so big now, and they're going to grab a lot of the top-end talent. But the K-State's been making this shift, and even this year, I can't imagine that they're going to drop off too far. So, yeah, very, very fascinating to see how things are working for K-State in their first official visit weekend of the year. We'll have another recruiting update next Thursday for you as K-State gets ready to do it all again. And if you need everything that's going on with K-State football and recruiting this weekend, head on over to KSO and On Three. Join for a dollar if you have not done so yet, and follow along with what Drew has set in place for everybody there. Because he's got a little blurb on everybody that will be visiting this weekend, so you can get some insight as to who this player is, what their recruitment looks like, and what's going on. A couple of running backs visiting this weekend as well, which we know K-State is, they've got 1,000 of them that they're in the mix for. It's just going to probably be about which one do they really want and who decides to take a spot first. So all that and more from Drew over at kstateonline.com. For now, we'll get out of here. And who knows, we might have some fireworks to talk about come later in the weekend or start of next week. We'll keep you in the loop on that. We'll try and do quarterbacks tomorrow here on KSO. We'll just see how everything plays out. But that will be coming at some point in the near future as we wrap up the final names on our list of ranking quarterbacks since 2006 at K-State. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening to K-State Online.